You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Welcome, Internet, to the 8th episode of the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball. I'm your host, Ari Castle. I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Kevin Schwartz and Mr. Marco Tomic. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving break. There was plenty of Butler basketball to watch, so we could all be thankful for that. Marco was in Orlando for Thanksgiving break. I got to hang out with Brad Stevens. Kevin, did you do anything cool or no?
Slept in.
Big time. All right, so let's get down to it. The Old Spice Classic was the highlight of this break. Now, we could spend hours talking about every aspect of the game, but there's general important parts of each game, so we're just going to go over that, guys. First of all, in that first game, we got to talk about Kellen Dunham and Kyle Marshall. Before the game, they were average human beings. They came out of the locker room, put on their Superman capes, and went to work. Kellen Dunham Fan Club President Marco Tomic, an Old Spice record 32 points for your boy. What was he doing right?
What was he not doing to just put every shot in? I mean, he literally could have taken any shot. This deep three towards the end of the game was just ice in his veins. I loved it.
That was a heat check, and it went in. Yeah. If you're making them and you're feeling it, shoot it, Kellen. I don't care.
What about Kyle Marshall, too?
You know what's funny? Anybody that didn't watch the game had no idea what Kyle did because they all got the ESPN alert that says, Kellen Dunham, 32 points. Well, Kyle had 30 and 5 rebounds. I'm telling you. Kyle is putting up big numbers this year, and he's going to end up on that first team.
I was watching that game. I saw 30, and I was just thinking, oh, my God, Kevin is going to be right.
Kevin is the president, the vice president, and the secretary of Kyle Marshall's fan club.
I got to admit, they were both torching that game. I was a little concerned that nobody else stepped up.
Yeah.
They scored 62 points. I think we had, what, 75 total?
Yeah.
That's bad. Someone else has got to do something. Elijah, Cam, Fromm. We need points from them, too.
Well, it shows how important Kellen and Kyle are in the offense. Everything has to go through them. Whether or not they're scoring, they need to at least touch the ball because they're a threat. They're going to draw double teams. They're going to draw, you know, defenses to look at them every single time they're on the floor. That's going to open things up for other players. If they score, we're going to win. If they have a good game and then other players are able to make some shots, we're going to win. But it's important that they are the main focus of the offense because even if they're not putting the ball in the basket, other teams are going to be forced to play them.
It's interesting you mentioned them not having a good game. Round two against Oklahoma State, neither of them had a great game. I think Kellen was held to 12 points on, I don't know, what was the stat, Marco?
I believe he was actually held to 9 points. He was 3 of 14 from the field and 2 of 7.
And what was Kyle?
The three-point line. Kyle ended up being 4 of 9 from the field, and he ended up with 8 points.
But somehow, we're in it at the end. 14-point deficit at halftime. We come back, and Kyle Marshall's at the free throw line. And when he goes to the free throw line, I knew they weren't going in.
Hey,
he shot.
Yes. He was 7 of 12. He was
6 of 7.
6 of 7.
That's why I knew they weren't going in. The law of averages would not allow that ball to go in. As a whole, Butler did shoot 77% from the free throw line in the tournament, which is great for them. But those two, there was like 8 seconds left, down by 1. Make one of them, Kyle. Just one free throw. That just killed us.
All right, I'm gonna point some out here. I want you guys to comment on it.
Okay.
In all of the games that we've had, because they've all been close, minus Nova, South Eastern, and Lamar, what have we done in the final moments to really put a game away besides another team getting to the basket and throwing, missing, or taking a bad shot with the buzzer going off?
Well, that's another issue altogether about our entire late game scenarios have been poor.
We've just been doing just enough to hang on to some of those games. And in the Oklahoma State game, finally came back and bit us in the butt.
It bit us the next day, too.
And the next day, we weren't.
Did you have a problem in the Oklahoma State game with Elijah's final shot?
No, but
neither did I. The timeouts burned.
Yeah,
in the inbounds play. 2 timeouts.
You got to get the ball in.
How do we not have an outlet? Like we were doing it all game, outlet into the backcourt. If you can't get something going, just have someone run back there and chuck it to him. I mean, come on.
The first, you take the first timeout. You better get the ball in the second one.
Absolutely.
You know, you're taking the ball out of bounds. You're looking to inbound it. Okay, you don't have anything set up, whatever. But when you go to the drawing board, and you've actually got a clipboard there, and you go, you're going here, and you're going here. Get the ball in bounds. It's a simple scenario. And if you're not open, don't stop.
Butler did suffer its first loss to Oklahoma State. No one likes to lose, but this game showed that we can compete with anybody. Oklahoma State, before on the previous show, we were saying, Marco said, I hope Marcus Smart doesn't make our defense look dumb. He really didn't. We were in this game. We should have won this game.
Cam played awesome defense, but on the back half of that, it also hurt us. I mean, Cam being on Smart most of the game put him on the perimeter, and we got beaten up pretty badly on the offensive boards. They got too many second-chance rebounds. Cam being away from the paint really did hurt us a little bit.
I'll tell you what, though. This is the first game that we've really seen the Butler defense come to life.
Yeah.
They've been bad all year. I mean, bad. And luckily, we've been having the scoring production to really win these games, you know, be able to put up 80, 90 points. We didn't do that against Oklahoma State, but the defense was phenomenal. I expect to see that kind of intensity throughout the rest of the year because they're capable of doing it. But if they're not putting it out there, if they're not really giving that effort, we're going to struggle.
On to the final game of the Old Spice tournament against LSU. We started this game off pretty hot. We were up big, and in typical Butler basketball fashion, we slowly let the lead slip away tinier and tinier, and by the end of the game, it was just a very stressful situation as usual. Let's take this back. 10.2 seconds left. We're up by three. We did not foul. Marco, did you think it was the right call not to foul?
No. I think we should have fouled. I believe we should have fouled. The way we had been shooting free throws, I feel like I would have been completely comfortable being able to put Kellen Dunham on the line in a free throw battle against LSU. Completely okay with it. And with that short amount of time, I think we would have been able to hold him off.
I completely disagree with that.
Yeah, so do I.
And the reason I disagree with that is because you're playing to win the game. The best they can do is tie and go to overtime. Now, you don't foul with 9.7 seconds left when they get the ball in. If they would have taken a foul when they had gotten that screen pass, when they had kicked it out to the guy who probably would have taken the shot had Kellen not helped all the way over, that's fine because you're fouling him with 2 seconds left. But at the end of the day, that's a forced shot. Kellen made a mistake on defense. He overplayed, over-anticipated, and he left his man wide open, came back to bite him. And at the end of the day, the chances of him hitting that shot are probably around 45%. The guy hadn't made anything all day.
You know who hit that shot? Anthony Hickey
did hit that shot.
He had not scored a point all day either. They were broke from three in the first half. I figured Butler defense playing a good possession. I didn't have any problem with not fouling. I did have a problem with some other things in that game,
though. I had a problem with not calling a timeout when you had one left coming down the court. Barlow just runs up and takes a runner three. First of all,
it nearly went in, though.
You can't go, nearly win it because it did not go in.
I haven't seen anyone pull up for a floater from behind the three-point line since Roosevelt Jones. I mean, what was that?
You have to call a timeout. Now, granted, we haven't had a play work yet at the end of a game, but you got a timeout. You've got great shooters on the floor. You got people who can make those plays. Barlow's not necessarily the guy I want taking the shot. Now, when they actually ran the play for him, was it
Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State in the corner.
That's fine because it was an open look. But forcing something over two defenders right up the middle of the court when you got to go the full length and you have a timeout to burn, don't do it. Coach Miller, you're on the bench. Look over there and go, we want a timeout.
You know what our final two plays in overtime were in the LSU game? A Kyle Marshall three and an Eric Fromm contested three. That's the best we can draw up to end the game. First of all, Kyle Marshall has no business shooting any three-pointers.
No.
He shot like three of them in the tournament, which I was scratching my head at. And Fromm, with a contested three, like, it's times like this where we really miss Brad Stevens' genius play calling. I'm not blaming Brandon Miller for, like, saying he's a bad play caller. But if our final two plays were a Kyle Marshall three and an Eric Fromm three, that is not good. That's not the play we want.
We need to start learning how to just step on our opponents' necks and finish games. We need to stop letting up and just be able to finish. In the timeout before the LSU game, before they had scored, I saw our team laughing a little bit, smiling in the huddle. That was a little disheartening. I mean, the game's not over. There's 10.2 seconds, and LSU made them pay.
So, Kevin, overall tournament perspective, any notes?
Okay, first of all, athleticism really bothered us. You could see that. Six blocks at the rim versus LSU. There were six blocks against us in the Oklahoma State game as well, including that last shot by Elijah Brown. It's a good thing to know that we can compete with the best, but the LSU game was one we needed. Joe Lunardi, not that it matters right now, had them as the last four in, and we are the last four out. That flip-flops if we win. They're going to be close to the tournament, getting a spot in the tournament once it comes down to March. We want to have that win on our resume. It looks like now we're going to have to win out the rest of our non-conference games if we want any shot.
We forgot to mention.
Very possible to win out.
There were several players who were noticeably absent for the LSU game. We did have zero bench points because Elijah Brown, Devontae Morgan, and Renee Castro all were a scratch coach's decision. We had heard there was some rule violation, or we don't even know, honestly, that Coach Miller decided not to play them. We will probably never know what happened. I have to assume it was something minor. They obviously didn't, like, you know, kill anyone. Did you have a problem with them sitting?
I did have a problem with them sitting, so depending on what it actually was. Because if it was something extremely minor, maybe give them a little smack on the wrist. Just give them a game.
You can't
a half
do
a game.
That, though.
Give them a half.
You have to set a standard, and if you expect your players to be held to a higher level of commitment, then you can't let anybody else, you know, run away. If it was Volovic, it doesn't matter if it's your best player or worst player.
If it was
player.
Minor like that, we can give him a minor punishment. Give him a half. This game was big. Like you said,
No. You can't do that based on the game, okay? Crime, you have to pay for your crime, whether it's the national championship.
Pay for your crime,
but
pay for
game.
It equally. If it's a minor crime, minor punishment.
There were rules set by Coach Miller and the coaching staff, and they
are expected to follow those rules.
Exactly. And if they broke them, which that's
they
what we're going
to
probably assume
happened
because he said they know why they didn't play, but they weren't going to tell the media. You got to go by him. Kyle's not doing that. Eric's not doing that. Barlow's not doing that.
What I didn't like was Devontae didn't even get much time before this in trouble. And that's what one thing that really puzzled me. I mean, the dude was getting 16 minutes, 15 minutes a game, being the eighth man kind of off the bench, giving us a little defensive spark. What happened? Why is he in the doghouse?
Things were working. The team was playing well. You don't really want to kill that. One of the things I do think Brandon Miller is good at, if a player's hot, he keeps him in. Whereas Coach Stevens, he had his little, okay, he played 8 minutes. I'm going to go with this guy now. Especially outside of timeouts. When you take a timeout, you're giving somebody a two-minute break. They should be good for another couple minutes. And Brad would all the time take people out. Coach Miller's pretty good at leaving guys in there that are playing well together. And I think that's why we didn't see Devontae in there, because Barlow played really well.
All right, guys.
Exceptional.
It was the Old Spice tournament, so I think it's time to do the Old Spice freshness level game. All right, guys, the point of the game, based on a scale of 1 to 5, how well they played is their freshness level. We are joined by the man behind the camera, Mr. Matt Mitchell.
Yeah.
He will be our stat boy and human marker for today.
Who is that kid?
All right. We're going to start with the top. 5 is the best, is the ultimate freshness, and 1 is stanky.
First player, Barlow.
Alex Barlow gets a 5. He played incredible in Orlando. Averaged 8 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 2.5 steals. Made his 3-pointer, 63% from behind the arc. Marco, scale of 1 to 5.
Absolutely getting a 5. I mean, I knew the kid could score, and he's just showing up. He's starting to step up.
You knew he could score.
Last week, last episode, I said he could score.
You guys said it all yourselves. It's a 5.
5. All right. Clean sweep for A-Bar. Next.
All right. Next we got Dunham, KD.
Kevin, take this one first.
I'm going to give him a 4. And the reason I'm not going to give him a 5 is because he did not show up in game number 3 when we needed him most. He didn't show up really in game number 2 either, but him being out there makes so much of an impact even when he's not scoring. And game 1, the dude's in the record books. You can't complain with that.
Kellen Dunn for me is getting a 4.5. He made the all-tournament team.
Yeah.
He averaged 20 points and 4.7 boards in the tourney. He looked like an NBA player out there. Yes, he was inconsistent in the last 2 games. But they gotta respect
there was
the
only
32,
3 games.
The Old Spice record.
I want to give him a 4.65 just because he did make the all-tournament team. I didn't know 20 points is apparently not showing up in the 3rd game. That's new to me, but
he was like 4.50.
All right, next player.
Next we got Woods, a.k.a. Inspector Gadget.
The extendo arms. Once again, a 5. He averaged 10 and 10. Strong rebounder. One of the most efficient rebounders in the Big East.
Actually, the most efficient rebounder in the Big East. He is averaging 9.4 and leading the Big East in rebounding right now.
What's he got?
I'm going to give him a 5. I mean, he's very versatile. He's playing great defense when we need him. He's guarding guards. He's going down in the post, grabbing rebounds. I think he deserves it.
I hate when we agree. I got to give him a 5.
Wow. Next.
We got Big Red from
Kevin Start. Ooh, it's a tough
I'm going to give Fromm a 3 because, again, the stuff he does not show up on the stat sheet. However, he really didn't hit his threes, and we talk about this every week. They got to go in.
3-12.
They have to go in.
The threes will start falling eventually, okay?
You've got to believe that. He's told me
that. And they will. His defense was so good in the tournament. Incredible. And for that sole reason, I'm going to give him like a 3.8. Even though his offense was kind of bad, His defense kept us in games, and people were not scoring on him down low.
I'm going to have to give him a 3, like Kevin said. I was even thinking about going a little bit lower. His defense might have been great. His three-point shooting, again, was not there. His rebounding was not there. 1 rebound, 3 rebounds, 4 rebounds from a post player. I mean, how many did Barlow average? Kellen averaged 4.7. He's averaging as much as our guards. He needs to be down there grabbing boards.
Next stat, boy.
We got Air Marshall. What'd you think?
Air Marshall, I'll give him a 4 just because he had 30 that one game. But he was so inefficient in those, like, last game. Those free – you know what? Scratch that. I'm giving him a 3 because those free throws killed us, and he was inefficient. And he – I don't know how teams, like, don't scout him. He only goes left. Kevin?
I'm going to give him a 4 because – unlike what you said, sure, he missed him at the end of the game, but as a positive, he probably shot a career high for 3 games in terms of free throw percentage. He knocked him down a lot more than we expected him to, and he was great in the first game, held it down on the boards, was not awful on defense, and I like his production. I mean, he's going to be at the top of Big East in scoring.
I thought I'm going to have to give him 3.75. I think he was closer to the 4, but I just thought overall Kyle was he was imposing himself on the other teams. I mean, he was being a presence. He was offensively, defensively making things happen, and I thought that deserves a 3.75. I mean, he was doing the right things.
All right, Matt, last one.
We got the delivery man, Elijah Brown. What'd you think?
Kevin.
I'm going to give him a 1.
Woo!
And the reason I'm giving him a 1 is because he let the team down.
Ooh.
On Sunday's game.
Ooh.
I'm going to say, while it's a team game and the team lost, he had a huge impact on that because we lacked scoring from a lot of places. We lost that game in overtime. He would have made the difference. And the fact that he broke the coach's trust does not bode well for him in the future. He's going to have to make it up in practice and earn his time back. And any time that you're not able to contribute because of something you did that's not an injury, it's a big deal.
Damn. What do you think?
I mean, the delivery man just only really delivered in one game. And even in that one game, he did
give me the number.
2. Even in his one game where he did pop off with his 15 points, he was shooting NBA range 3 after NBA range 3.
I would give Elijah Brown an INC, an incomplete, because he, you know what, didn't give me enough. He had 0 points in the first game, 0 minutes in the last game. The 15, clap, clap, clap. We lost the game, so it was irrelevant. Let's talk about our head coach, Brandon Miller. Kevin, you have a lot of notes over there. Since we're not doing stats with Schwo, we can do Kevin's criticisms. All right, what do you have on B-Mill?
He's done a good job so far, but when the pressure mounts at the end of the games, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
There's got to be something in the playbook that works, and they haven't thrown it out there yet. You can't save it for the tournament if you're trying to play for a spot in the tournament. They just don't confer on the offensive end what it matters.
I mean, how many opportunities has he had to really bust out his playbook? I mean, we've only had so many games. There, he has a lot of time still in his coaching career to develop.
Yeah,
some
but we haven't seen anything.
Did Brad
have all those late
that's
game
mattered
situations?
Because Lamar and Nova Southeastern were warm-up games, technically. Even
we don't run a lot of plays. They were all close.
Yeah. He's early
we
in his
shouldn't
coaching
be going
career.
To overtime against
to
Ball State. We should have beat LSU just right out of the gate. We could have smacked them.
And
that's where the coaching comes into play. But I think that some of his subbing in the minutes I don't really get. Why are some people that are playing well?
Why is Kyle always the first one out no matter what?
Even if that's on Kyle, as a coach, it's your job to make sure he's capable of playing as much as possible and being as efficient as possible.
I completely
agree. But my question is, are our expectations for Coach Miller in his first year too high because of what Brad set?
Obviously.
I believe so. I mean, he's got plenty of time. I'm saying, we should have beat LSU. Yes, we could have beat the one in the Oklahoma State game. Does he have time, and will he get it later on in his career? I believe so.
This is a big year for Butler basketball. If we somehow tank and we finish at the bottom of the Big East, it could be a problem for the future because people are going to go, recruits are going to go, they're not the program we thought they were. Maybe those two Final Four runs were luck, or without Coach Stevens, they can't succeed. We have to do well.
Let's be clear, though. We love Coach Miller.
Absolutely.
We have nothing but support for him. Just a little bit of criticism. We give it to everybody. Obviously, we are all in on Coach Miller and wish him nothing but the best. And I think we all think he's a good coach, too.
Absolutely.
But if you could draw
you just
got to
finish at the end
plays,
of the game.
That'd be kind of nice.
I know we're going to see it. I have all the confidence in the world in Coach Miller, but When?
We need to see it now.
We need to see it now because the bigger games, you can take a close loss to a Marquette because you know they're going to be really good. But you have to finish off the teams that are your level or worse and not make it close.
The Big East conference play is creeping up on us, and we really need to step it up. I mean, he needs to have his stuff ready to go by the time we play some of those big teams.
Like New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Quick. Prediction for North Dakota on Saturday.
I know nothing about the team or the state.
I want a prediction.
So we're going to win by 25.
I'll go with a 18-point victory.
Knowing Butler, I'm going to say we're going to be up by 13 at 1 point. Probably made a 4-point game with a minute to go, and we'll come out and win by 4.
100% is what he's saying. I want to give a shout-out to all of our fans from the Old Spice Classic. I got a very good warm welcoming from a lot of our fans that come from a lot of different states, near and far, and even some of the parents from some of the players on the team gave me some pretty good reviews. They love like what we're doing, and I love talking to you guys. We really appreciate the comments and feedback we're getting from you.
Yeah, we saw it last year in Maui. Everybody was just so excited to be there. Even though the Butler community is smaller, they travel really well. They love their basketball, and it's exciting to see you guys are enjoying the show and watching it, and we'd love your feedback.
We would be remiss if we did not mention a certain event that occurred in Orlando. Our very own Hoopcast Tomich had a opportunity to take a half-court shot in front of the fans.
Let me get my trombone out.
It was, as Zach Kiefer tweeted out, one of the worst half-court attempts he had ever seen.
He wouldn't have made it from the free throw line.
As our resident half-court shot expert, Kevin Schwartz, what do we have to say about this?
It's disappointing.
It is disappointing.
We expected better of you. Because Ari's made one.
Mm-hmm.
I made one on a pretty big stage.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing for the Hoopcast?
Both are at Hinkle, home court advantage. I was away. I was jet lagged. The lighting was in my eye. As soon as it left my hands, I knew it was not going to be pretty. Kind of like Nolan.
Oh!
To give a shout out to Nolan, he even gave me a hard time about the half court shot because he saw it and he even knew that it was that bad. Maybe I should shoot from my knees so I got a better angle like Ari has.
Oh, everybody give it up for Marco Tomich. I think that's a great time to do everyone's favorite segment, Tomich's Tweets.
Tomich's Tweets. My tweet comes from the press conference with Alex Barlow after the Oklahoma State game. It was about, of Marshall's free throw misses, Barlow said, if it wasn't for Kyle, we wouldn't have even had the chance to play Oklahoma State. Kyle Marshall had 30 yesterday. I thought this speaks great character for Barlow. I mean, he was a leader on and off the court right there, sticking up for his teammate and also showing up on the court. I thought Barlow had an all-around awesome tournament. Kevin, what do you think?
Yuck, yuck, yuck. Everyone gets a laugh. Once again, hope you guys enjoyed the 8th episode. I'm Ari Castle, Kevin Schwartz, Hoopcast Tomich. IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.